Welcome to Just Ask, the podcast of the Hive Collective, a digital health platform built to empower women to make educated and informed decisions about their health. I'm your co-host, Dr. Heather Quayle, a leading women's and gender-related nurse practitioner. We provide answers to the questions you may not know how to ask by interviewing experts in nursing, medicine, sexual health, and wellness. We started in 2020 with myself and colleague Dr. Tara Thompson, pharmacist, and now welcome our co-host and leading women's health expert and nurse practitioner, Jackie Piasta. This is a safe space where no question is off limits, and we advocate and encourage listeners to just ask their most intimate questions and to break down the barriers of embarrassment and taboo.
I'm Jackie Piasta, your other co-host and fellow Queen Bee of the Hive. Each month, we bring on a new guest that is an expert and healthcare innovator in their respective field. As the healthcare landscape rapidly evolves, we are excited to be on the cutting edge and have decided to evolve the podcast into the Hive Collective, a space that seeks to equip you to better navigate your health journey. To learn more about our new and exciting platform, check out our mission, vision, values, and initiatives as we discuss our rebrand in Season 4, Episode 1. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We're excited you're here and hope you enjoy our show.
Hello and welcome to the Just Ask podcast. I am here. My name is Tara. I'm a pharmacist and I'm here with my co-conspirator slash co-host, Dr. Heather Quayle. She is a women's health nurse practitioner, and we are so excited today to bring you Emily. And Heather will do a very beautiful, very formal introduction of Emily, but I just wanted to thank all of our listeners for being here today. We have such a cool podcast, cool show for you. If you're listening today, you're in for a great treat because we're going to talk all about all things birth control, all things sexually transmitted infections, everything that you want to know and want to ask, but don't really want to
ask.
Kind of embarrassed for. So that's why we're called Just Ask. I want to read out our mission because I think it's so important to know why we are here today and why we made this platform. We are a healthcare platform dedicated to providing evidence-based information by a multidisciplinary team of sexual health experts. This is in order for individuals to make informed and optimal sexual health decisions and to learn and understand the issues surrounding sexual dysfunction. And that's exactly why we're here today. We believe in a safe, a non-judgmental environment around sexual health and wellness for men and women and everyone in between to engage with the experts in these areas of medicine. So we specifically choose different experts each month because we want you to get an evidence-based clinical basis for your questions and those things that you're wanting to know about. So without further ado, I'm going to pass it over to Heather, and she is going to bring on our amazing guest today. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Hi, listeners. Welcome back again. We love having you. I have the adorable, cute, amazing Emily. She's just like a breath of fresh air. She's sprite. She's young. We always kind of get those midlife people who do talks for us, and I have no issues with that. I want people from young to old to all over, but Emily just really kind of hones in on that younger, more millennial college life population. And so I really love what she's doing out on her Instagram. So reached out to her and I'm like, hey, come talk to our listeners. So let me tell you a little bit about her. She is awesome. Her name is Emily McNeil. She's a nurse practitioner. She's a board certified women's health nurse practitioner and a creator of Between Two Lips, T-U-L are tulips. And I always say tulips, but that's total play on words. So I'll let her kind of talk a little bit more about her Instagram because I just think it's a fantastic title. But it's a social media community that empowers all women to better understand and embrace their gynecologic health through fun, factual, and useful information. After graduating from Belmont University in Nashville, she went to work in labor and delivery and postpartum before pursuing her master's degree in women's health from Georgetown University. Her nursing career has given her an opportunity to work in a variety of amazing places, including California. It's totally where my heart is because I grew up there. So woohoo, Georgia and Colorado. And then she ended back up in Nashville, kind of where it all began. She's now working in a really busy OBGYN practice practice providing GYN specific care to women throughout the lifespan. And Emily believes that all people should have a comfortable space to learn, to just ask, and develop health literacy about their bodies. But it's up to us as providers to start the conversation. And without further ado, here is our amazing Emily.
Well, thank you for that intro. That was young and sprightly. I love that. I'm really happy to be here and just really honored that I get to share with all of your guests, you know, anything that I can about birth control and safer sex. I know we had intentions of doing this around Valentine's Day, but life happens. So this is a relevant topic no matter what time of year.
Yes. At all times. And I think I want to hone in on the most important thing that you've said about your bio. And it's that people want to be asked, but they don't know how to ask their providers, and providers don't know how to start the conversation. And I think that was the impetus in us kind of creating this platform, is to kind of have our people know how to ask these questions, but also if we get providers that listen, to feel comfortable asking that. So I kind of want to hone in on what are some of the things. Let's go right into kind of birth control, and then we're going to talk a little bit about sexually transmitted infections and the different kinds of ways that you can protect yourself, and we'll get into lubes and all that other stuff. But what are some of the most important questions that your patient, you want your patients to be asking you?
Oh, well, excuse my dog. I
had a lot to say about that.
I know, goodness. Well, when I have a patient come in to see me, you know, I want them to feel comfortable. You know, if they're on a birth control method and they don't like it, I want to know why, because, you know, usually we can kind of adjust what their issue is if there's a side effect that they're not comfortable with. I'd much rather them come and say, hey, I'm having an issue with this side effect, than just stop it and they're not protected against pregnancy if that's a concern for them. I also want them, in just regards to sex in general, if they have a new sexual partner and they want to be screened for sexually transmitted infections and they're too embarrassed to ask, I want them to be able to come to me with that. It's really, really easy. It's really routine. I'm not embarrassed if anyone has any like taboo questions. There's no such thing. Just in general, I want to make my patients feel comfortable to ask me, you know, anything that's on their mind.
Yeah, really raising awareness around sexually transmitted infections. I always say, instead of telling people, you don't have a disease, or you're healthy, I mean, just say you're clean. I know there's different ways of kind of looking at the wording and the word choice we use nowadays for just, it's not dirty.
No, absolutely. And I think people just assume, teenagers, but you know, it doesn't matter how old you are. Yeah. If you're sexually active and you are not in a, you know, solely monogamous relationship, and both of you have tested negative for sexually transmitted infections, it's a good idea to be tested.
Mm-hmm. Tested regularly. So let's talk a little bit about, I mean, I know a lot of people know about birth control, but I kind of want to dive into different types. There's pills, there's IUDs, there's condoms. And can we kind of break it down a little bit just for some of our younger listeners, and maybe even some of our older ones who are now having to go back into the whole birth control because either they've had kids and they're figuring it out, or they may be in a new relationship.
No, for sure. So before we do a dive into that, I just want to make a note that I'll be talking about it in the context of pregnancy prevention. Yes. We use birth control as medical management for a lot of conditions like endometriosis, fibroids, things like that. So all that to say, even women with same-sex partners who aren't concerned necessarily about pregnancy may be seeking contraception for other reasons. So it's good to know your options no matter what type of sexual relationship that you're in. So as far as birth control options, there's so many different types. There's a big, long menu. It can be kind of overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But just kind of starting from most effective and working our way down, I love long-acting reversible contraceptives, also known as LARCs. And those include IUDs and the Nexplanon. Those are good depending on which one that you get, 3 to 10 years. So great option for someone that's not great at taking a pill every day, or can't have estrogen, because all of the types of LARCs do not contain estrogen. So moving on down, you have the depot shot, which is a progesterone only method. You have the pill, patch, and ring that have estrogen and a synthetic form of progesterone called progestin. And there's also progesterone only pills as well. So there's really
good for people who may be nursing and things of that.
too. Absolutely. And there's, you know, depending on certain health conditions, not all birth control may be a safe option for you as well. So if you have a certain type of migraine called migraine with aura, for instance, or if you have high blood pressure or you smoke cigarettes, maybe something like a pill that has estrogen in it may not be the safest option for you. And something like an IUD would probably be a better option.
Exactly. And I'm going to caveat because, and I talked to Emily about this before we even came on, is that we do a lot around sexual health, especially sexual dysfunction. So birth control pills orally may not be a good option for that either. So we will do more to come on that in another lecture, but I just have to put that little pearl there.
Yes, absolutely. If I have someone coming in and they have a history of vulvovaginal pain disorders or painful intercourse, low libido, an estrogen containing pill, patch, or ring really isn't my first choice for them necessarily. Something like a hormonal IUD or non-hormonal IUD is kind of a safer option in that regard. So I definitely will just throw that out there as well.
Absolutely. Thanks. I just have to put that on being a
No. It's important. And it's often overlooked. I think we get hung up.
No one wants to ask.
Yes. And I think people get hung up on side effects like, oh, we don't want you to have a stroke. We don't want you to have a blood clot. And then kind of glaze over, okay, it can cause a lower libido. It can cause vaginal dryness, things like that, that affect our quality of life if we're taking that birth control method, even though it may not be life-threatening, right?
Right.
So a little bit more about IUDs. It's a, you know, whether or not you probably heard about it, but it's a plastic rod and it has two arms in the shape of a T with a little string attached.
I may have one. Hold on. Stand by.
I was going to say, we have a picture of it for our viewers.
Hold on. We are going to open up a Skyla right
Yay.
Here.
Oh, God. I love a good Skyla. That's the smallest of all the
types. It is small, but it's the first one I could grab without totally going off the camera. All right. So I don't know how well you can see it, but this is actually a really legitimate one that a rep gave me, but it's this little device here. So Emily can kind of talk about it. And this is the device that goes up inside. And
yeah. So it's inserted through your cervix and into your uterus, and the string hangs out a couple centimeters outside of your cervix, not and your vagina.
It's yes. wiry.
It kind of looks like fishing wire, but after it's in your vagina for a couple days, it actually softens up and curls around your cervix. Sometimes it even kind of gets coiled up in your cervix, so it should not be bothersome to your partner.
And here it is.
Looks yes. Like they're so cute, aren't they? I think they're adorable. So cute.
They're adorable.
And the Skyla's purple. I love it.
Before we started, I didn't even think about it.
IUDs are 99% effective at preventing pregnancy. They're as effective as a tubal ligation. So, but it's reversible. So it's a great option if you're wanting to prevent pregnancy long-term, but aren't really wanting to commit to sterilization. There's four types of hormonal IUDs, the Mirena, Lyletta, Kylena, and Skyla. And they all release a small amount of progestin called levonorgestrel. None of the IUDs contain estrogen, like I said. And then there's a fifth type of IUD called the Paragard, which doesn't contain any hormones whatsoever. It's actually wrapped around with copper and it acts as a spermicide. And the Paragard is also great too, because if you have unprotected intercourse, you can use it as emergency contraception up to 5 days. So if someone calls me and says, hey, I had unprotected sex and I, you know, need plan B, but I'm also wanting to get on birth control, we can bring them in, put in a Paragard, and that will kind of act as both.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, super great.
And then what about things like condoms, diaphragms? Like, where does that fit in the equation for people? And do you even get asked about diaphragms anymore?
You know, I don't get asked about diaphragms too much anymore. You know, they're still, you know, you can still get them. You have to special order them. Kind of the things to know about diaphragms and cervical caps. Those are the two other types of, you know, two types of barrier methods. They both go into your vagina and they just mechanically block the sperm. Generally should be used with a spermicide, which we can talk a little bit about to make it more effective than just using it by itself. Good if you're looking for a non-hormonal method that's latex free, or, you know, you've missed a pill and you need to use a backup method. People also who use fertility awareness method, where they take their temperature every day and check their cervical mucus and things like that, can also use this during their fertile window. It does not protect against sexually transmitted infections. neither of these methods are great to use when you're on your period. Like I said, you should be using a contraceptive gel with it to make it more effective. You can use them for up to 2 years. The diaphragm is about 88% effective at preventing pregnancy, where the cervical cap or the fem cap is about 90%. So I don't know. Generally, they should be fitted by a provider. It's not required anymore. But people's cervixes are different sizes, especially after you've had a baby. So it might be a good idea if you want this.
Make sure it's still working.
Make sure it's a good fit, especially if you were using it before you had a baby and now you've had a vaginal delivery.
Exactly.
I found my copper IUD Paragard. Can you see it?
Yeah, I can see it.
It's super cute.
Another cute one.
Yeah. And they're little. They go up inside and
yeah, they're very small.
You can see me maybe a little bit biased towards the IUD, but
I know I love IUDs. They're one and done. And you know, there are different sizes. So the Paragard, just anecdotally, is the biggest one. So sometimes, you know, your doctor may even prescribe a cervical softener to make the insertion process a little bit easier. The Skyla, I feel like for teenagers, I use that one a lot. It's the smallest. It's good up to 3 years. Anyway, you can always ask your NP or your doctor for specifics about it if you're interested in that.
Okay, so are you using Phexxi at all? Not to put you on the thing, but I am
My gosh. This is so funny you should say that. I actually was talking to one of the physicians I work with about Phexxi, and I said, I just need someone to be on board. Not to say I should guinea pig somebody, but I haven't had anyone interested in it yet.
I haven't either, but I think in our sex, like where I got nervous at first is like, oh gosh, are you going to cause a yeast infection or a bacterial? And that was all my big, big questions for them.
Yes.
Because I'm like, I don't need that because then it'll lead to vulvodynia and some other things. But it had really good results on some of the trials. I talked to one of the reps, but I just kind of want our listeners to know to even ask if it's something they're interested in. So yeah, if you want to tell them kind of what it is. And
yeah, so Phexxi is basically, and I'm going to look up the exact.
Yeah, I was like, you'll know it more than me because I
know. You know, it's so funny. The rep is actually coming to our office next week, and I'm planning on getting all of the lowdown, but it's basically a hormone-free vaginal gel that you insert. I believe it's at least 15 minutes before sex.
Yeah, I think it may even be 30. I think something around that.
It decreases the pH of your vagina, which basically makes it inhospitable to sperm. So it's different than spermicide. It doesn't like kill the sperm.
And I think it's like 93% effective or something.
Yeah, it's very similar to condoms actually, or even more effective than condoms. I was really, really surprised. I think the idea of people have a hang up with it because it just doesn't seem like it could prevent pregnancy that well. So I don't know. I haven't had anyone.
I feel like this might be a good option for people who either don't want an IUD or don't want a hormonal contraceptive.
Yes.
But maybe sort of opposed to using a condom. I don't know. It seems like a really good option. I actually saw this a couple of times last week, and we actually had a patient ask about it, if it was, you know, had hormones or anything, and it does not. It's all like lactic acid, citric acid. It's things that, like Emily said, bring down the pH in the vaginal canal itself.
And I know that it's pretty user-friendly. It comes almost like a tampon. Applicator, and you just insert it into your vagina. And I think it comes with 12 applicators, and you just get it based on, you know, you can.
What we'll do is we'll come back to all of our listeners, and we can put it out there on our social media, where we can put pictures and stuff of it out there too. But when we put this podcast out, we'll get a little Phexxi thing out there too.
Just, I know it's the new hot thing that I'm kind of wanting to try it myself, and then I'll be able to.
Tell everyone else. That's all. Yeah. Let me try it first. See one, like the see one, do one, teach one. It's like, okay, let me try it. Then I'll tell my patients.
Exactly. Something that I do want to touch on is just the different types of condoms. You know, I think, you know, we all know what a condom is. I won't get a banana and do that whole thing, but.
You could, if you were teaching my sex ed for teens class though.
Yeah, no, I think that would be fun, but there is male and female condoms. I'll talk about the female condom in a second. But they're, you know, the two A condom is the most common barrier method, obviously, meaning that you need to use this every time you have sex for it to be the most effective type of contraception for you. About 88% with typical use. And it should be used, you can use it, you know, for oral, anal, or penile vaginal sex, or using sex toys as well. Latex is the most popular. A lot of people have allergies to latex though. So kind of a pro tip, if you keep having infections, vaginal infections, and you're not really sure why, or you feel like you have irritation after intercourse, take a note if you're using condoms of what your condom is made out of, because sometimes that can cause irritation. There's the polyurethane, and then there's also lambskin condoms. Now, they're not created equal in terms of STI prevention. The lambskin condoms actually have little pores that certain STIs can get through. So that should really only be used for pregnancy prevention and not STI prevention, just so you know. But some condoms are already lubricated with a spermicide, but I actually don't really recommend this generally, because I feel like it's not more beneficial to use it than just using a spermicide with it. And it also kind of lowers the shelf life of the condom itself. But certainly you can use spermicide and condoms together and make it more effective. You want to make sure that you're using a water-based only lube. I'm a huge fan of coconut oil as a lubrication, but you don't want to do this with a latex condom. It will degrade it and then make it less effective. So that's a no-no. And also just some vaginal antibiotics that, you know, if you get a vaginal infection like BV and you use a vaginal antibiotic, that actually has an oil base sometimes and can degrade a condom as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What about, you mentioned a little bit about lubes, like you talked about water-based. We talk a lot in the sex med world around silicone-based. So what are some of your favorites? What do you tell your patients around lube? How do you debunk lube? Because people are like, oh, that's only for old people.
Oh my gosh. I tell every single patient that everyone thinks no one is using lube and everybody is using it, which I think people, you know, especially in their 20s are like, okay, crazy lady, but it's true. I mean, it can make sex more enjoyable. And, you know, on average, it can take like 30 to 40 minutes to get sexually aroused enough for sex to be pleasurable. So lube is a great option, especially with condoms, to make it more comfortable and pleasurable for you. I love coconut oil based lubes, Coconut, Good Clean Love, and Woo Play are my favorites. But water-based lubricants are a good safe choice. Uber Lube is a good silicone based, just to know that it will stain your sheets. Yeah. Uber Lube is great. We had a bunch of samples at our office that got left behind and I passed them out like candy. I'm like, here you go.
The rep was showing me how you could also use it on your hair.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I have lube in my hair just to try it and it takes out all the frizzies.
Yeah. Yeah. No the silicone way. Just like makes it super smooth. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just, you know, side note. Also, they market it for runners and even men for chafing, and runners for like nipple and like thigh chafage.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. And like, I'm actually running a race next month and I have little Uber Lube packets. Should I just bring those with me?
Yep.
That's hilarious. Do you have patients ever that use spermicides?
I don't, but I'm kind of so niched in what I do now. So I'm always like the least things they can put up inside. I'm always like, try to avoid that unless it's a silicone water type of lube, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Coconut oil or something.
Yeah, no, same here. I don't feel just in the general population that it's that popular, but I think it's important for people to know about it if they're using something like the diaphragm or the cervical cap. Spermicides, you can get over the counter. They come in gels, creams, foams. It basically contains this chemical called nonoxyl-9, and it slows down and stops the sperm from entering your uterus. So it can be used alone, but it's much more effective if it's used with another barrier method. Mm-hmm. And you should insert it at least 15 minutes before intercourse. And you want to leave it alone for 6 hours after you have sex. So you should not be douching anyway, but you definitely do not want to be trying to get it out immediately after sex, because it'll make it less effective. Main issues with it though can cause a lot of vaginal irritation, UTIs, if you're prone to that. So if that's something that kind of baseline you struggle with, I definitely would not recommend this method to you. And it has the potential to throw off your pH.
Yes. Which that's huge. Talk a little bit about pH so that people understand that too. It's really important.
So, you know, your normal vaginal microbiome, you have good bacteria. Okay. Mostly the lactobacillus are the good bacteria, and that keeps your vagina at a relatively low pH. And things like fragrant soaps, semen, even if you're having unprotected intercourse, can raise that pH and kind of let other types of bacteria kind of get overgrown and cause vaginal irritation, itching, discharge. Most commonly, the vaginal infection, bacterial vaginosis, really common, actually more common than yeast infections, that have to be treated with an antibiotic or boric acid suppositories. But they're just kind of a pain in the butt, really.
Yeah, they really are. You've tapped on a little bit around just kind of keeping that vaginal pH up and other things. So I think it's kind of important too, since we've talked about lubes, we've talked about all these things. Let's talk about just cleanliness with people that use like toys and other things, and how like lubes can degrade some of that. So do you talk to your patients about stuff? And it's again, a taboo question. No one wants to tell you they're using a toy. Everyone's using toys, I promise.
Yes. No, you need to be washing your toys after usage with warm water, a gentle, unfragranced soap, nothing with fragrance, please. Please don't ever use Summer's Eve.
Summer's Eve, if you ever watch us, we're now blacklisted.
I know, I'm so sorry, but it's true. Maybe like a unscented Dove is fine.
Yep.
You wanna, if you're using it between different partners, if you're using it vaginally, then anally, you need to be cleaning it in between. Or at least having a condom that you're using on it as well. Just because you can be passing bacteria back and forth, and also sexually transmitted infections.
Can pass that way as well. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Which we haven't touched on yet, but.
Yeah. Let's do this last little bit around sexually transmitted infections. There's viral ones, there's bacterial ones. What are your most common ones?
Okay. So most common that I see, at least in my clinic where I'm at now, gonorrhea and chlamydia by far. 75% of chlamydial infections are asymptomatic. So if you are having sex and you are not being tested, you really should be, because there's health implications if it goes untreated. And the fact of the matter is it's really, really common. And, you know, I want to reduce that stigma around it. I want people to feel comfortable. It's really easy to get tested. You can leave a urine sample. We can do a vaginal sample. We can add it to your pap smear.
You can do it in the throat.
I was going to say, if you're concerned, we can do an anal swab. We can do an oral swab. There's no reason that you shouldn't be getting screened if you're at risk for that.
You should never be afraid to ask. Like, that's our big thing, is it's like, if you're having sex or you're concerned, then just let someone swab you.
For sure. And you know, there's no age cutoff too. I have women in their 50s that are so embarrassed to tell me that they, you know, they got a divorce 5 years ago, and they're finally in a new relationship and they really want to be tested. And I'm like, no, you're doing the responsible thing. That's great. You know? And part of that, you know, adding safer sex just into our normal jargon is communication and disclosure. Mm-hmm. So being able to, I try to encourage my patients to, you know, have that open line of communication with their partner. Like, hey, my last STI screening test was on X date and I tested positive or negative. How about you? And I use X method for contraception, or, you know, actually I'm not on hormonal birth control. I use condoms to prevent pregnancies. You know, having a communication with your partner, are you having sex with other people? What kind of sex are you planning on having? Are you, yes, oral and anal sex, you can't make a baby, but you can still, you know, pass STIs. Mm-hmm. Have you been vaccinated for HPV? That's an important thing that I counsel my patients on. It's FDA approved up to 45. And hello, that prevents cervical,
vaginal cancer. I think it should just be we're just seeing so many people in the later years in life, just either from change in life, you know, like new partners, things like that. It's like, I really have a hard stop that that they're stopping it at 45. I guess it's better from where it used to be at 26, but we shouldn't even have a date on it, because we're seeing in the old age homes that people are starting relationships.
Oh my gosh. They're absolutely. And I mean,
another soapbox of mine.
No, seriously. And if there's something that we can give something to prevent these preventable cancers, I don't know why we're not doing that. And genital warts, the Gardasil 9 also prevents against strains HPV 6 and 11. And those are the two kinds that cause genital warts. So,
you know. One of the things I say too, and when I give my STI lectures to my teens, and I actually stole it from one of our mutual friends, is if it starts with an H, it's here to stay. So that's like your herpes, your hepatitis, your HPV, and your HIV.
Oh my gosh, that's spot on.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before. That's brilliant.
Yep. A friend of mine told me that, and Emily knows her well too. So yeah, I was like, this is brilliant. I'm going to use it every single time, where everything else you can get rid of. But yeah, it's here to stay. And those are the ones that are all viral for the most.
Yeah. Yeah. The, you know, chlamydia, gonorrhea, those are both bacterial. Trichomonas, or trichomoniasis, though, that's a parasite. All three of those are very easily treatable, with pill. And also, if you know, I have a patient that tests positive, it's important that any partners you had in the last 60 days also gets tested and treated. So just throwing that out there as well. It doesn't stop with just you. You need to make sure that you're informing any partners you have so they can get treated as well.
And I guess I should say, here to stay, for people that didn't grab that, it is, those are infections you cannot get rid of. They're with you.
Mm-hmm. And then just on a pleasant note, though, even if you've been diagnosed with an STI, you are going to live a happy and healthy life, and you didn't do anything wrong. And, you know,
oh gosh, no. I tell people all the time, HIV is no longer a death sentence. It's just a chronic infection like diabetes. We live with diabetes. We need to make HIV normal talk like diabetes.
Yeah. And we need to make, you know, getting tested for that as well less of a
going and getting tested for STIs should be going in and getting a mammogram, a pap, or a prostate exam, period. You're going to do it, so why aren't we testing for STIs too? You know, like, it just should be commonplace. And commonplace for everybody. I don't care if you're in a committed long-term relationship. A part of me is always like, you know what, just test. If your insurance is going to cover it and you have that, test.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, not to sound morbid, but I'll have patients that are like, well, you know, I've been married for such and such many years, but you can go ahead and add it on. Insurance covers it. And you'd be surprised, things that I catch. And
yeah. And then you're having that crucial, uncomfortable conversation. Yeah. But at least you're being proactive enough to say, yeah, it's time to test. I've been in your shoes many times with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's nothing, if you feel uncomfortable asking your provider these things, then you need to find someone else that you feel comfortable with. And that's goes with anything healthcare related, but you need to find someone that's in your corner and is going to kind of ask you those uncomfortable questions, because that's going to prompt you to be able to get the care that you need.
So speaking of uncomfortable questions, we haven't talked about it in any of our other podcasts. And before we wrap, I want you to talk a little bit just around dental dams and things of that nature. I want people to kind of know what they are. Does lubrication break down the efficacy of those? And talk a little bit about it, because some people will tell me they've never heard of them in their life.
Yeah, dental dams, I wouldn't say they're super mainstream, depending on who you're talking to, but they're latex, they're sheets of latex or polyurethane sheath that you put.
Almost looks like an elastic, one of those elastic bands you use for working out.
Yes.
No, the only reason I say that is because I'm using one for my foot right now, because and I'm like, man, it feels like I'm putting a dental dam on my heel.
Oh my gosh, that's the perfect description. Now everyone's going to be Googling what this looks like.
Yes.
But basically, they're used between the mouth and vagina or anus during oral sex. And they can be purchased online. You can make your own by using a condom and cutting it. And there's like lots of how-to videos on how to do this. I've actually looked it up. You have to use a new one every single time you have oral sex. You need to check the expiration date, just like a condom. You can use water-based or silicone-based lubricants to prevent breakage of it. And you want to put it on, you know, place it there prior to having oral sex. And the reason being, you can pass STIs through oral sex as well. And specifically one, I just want to point out, if you or your partner has cold sores, HSV-1, that is a form of herpes. And that can be passed, you know, to someone else's genitals. So you may not think of it as herpes. You've had cold sores your entire life, but that's really something, in my opinion, that you should disclose to a partner if you have, you know, known cold sores, because that really could cause a genital herpes outbreak for your partner.
And you can spread, like, herpes type 1 is the oral and herpes type 2 is the genital. But obviously, as Emily said, you can bring oral to the genitals and genitals to the oral.
Exactly.
You don't even base it off of type 1, type 2 as much anymore.
No, exactly. Yep. Things kind of have gotten all crisscrossed, which, you know.
Yep. Exactly. Well, as we kind of wrap up, I think this was just such important stuff. You cannot talk about sexual health without getting to the basics, and you really honed in on that for us. And we're starting to get more people listening to us in other countries, college age kids, millennials. And I just cannot get the word out enough around some of the most important things you talked about today, which is all kind of where sexual health starts, in my opinion.
Well, it was such a pleasure.
And so how do our viewers and our listeners find you? And please tell them about your adorable Instagram, because I'm kind of obsessed with your title.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So you can find me on Instagram at between tulips, like the flower, wink, wink. You can kind of get the double entendre there. And then you can also email me at emily@betweentulips.com. And Instagram really is just...
Her Instagram is wonderful and just a really good source of information.
Yeah, it's things that I get asked about by my friends and patients a lot. And I just try to make a post, you know, that's digestible and approachable. I get DMs on there all the time. I do polls on my story, and I just want it to be an interactive space where you can come and ask questions. Obviously, no specific medical advice, but just to kind of get to know your body more and fill in the gaps. I grew up, in a more conservative household, and the high school specifically that I went to, we basically just didn't have sex ed at all. So I'm kind of just trying to fill in gaps that
another one of my soapboxes
that people might be missing there. So, you know, for any ages though, there's no age cutoff and all are welcome. And
She's really, really, really inclusive. And it's kind of how I found her. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's adorable. And yeah, we need to get her on here. So thank you. I cannot thank you enough for doing this podcast and just for really shedding light on just extremely important stuff that people think they know, but probably don't know. And just so helpful.
Well, I appreciate it so much. Thank you for having me. It was so much fun. And I can't wait to hear all the rest of your episodes too. I've kind of been binging.
Yay.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Emily. You've been so great. I've learned stuff, and I've been around these drugs for a long time. So thank you very much. For our listeners, if you have any questions for us, particularly for the Just Ask podcast, feel free to email us, follow our links, find us on Instagram. It's at Just Ask ATL. ATL stands for Atlanta. But we're happy to get your questions to the right person. You can ask anonymously if you feel like it. You can ask publicly, and we will find you the answer or the right person to get you in contact with. But thank you so much again, Emily. Everyone stay tuned for the amazing speakers that we have coming up in the upcoming months. We're going to have somebody talk.
A really good lineup.
We're so excited. We have some mental health experts in sex medicine. We have someone coming in and talking about gut health and how that all goes into balancing your hormones. We have someone coming in to talk about men's pelvic pain, specifically in the urology setting and what they're doing in that regard.
Body image.
And also a psychologist talking about body image and sexual health. And
someone on disabilities and sexual health. So
yeah,
really exciting stuff.
So stay tuned. We have some cool stuff coming up for you. Emily, it's been such a pleasure. We could probably do an entire other podcast.
Yes.
Maybe we'll get back on season 3 and talk about something else.
Let's
cool.
Do it.
Yeah. By then you'll have a lot more stories you can bring to the table and let our listeners.
Every day.
Yes. Yes. So we hope you guys all learned something new today, or at least got the courage and know that you're not alone in this, to ask your providers for testing, for questions, know your options for the different birth controls that are out there, and know that we're here, we're listening to you, and we're happy to help. So without further ado, I'll wrap it up and say thank you everyone for being here.
Bye. Thanks everyone.
Bye guys.
Thanks for listening to the Just Ask podcast. And thank you for our amazing panelists today and every day. Feel free to contact us publicly or privately with your questions and thoughts. We do not provide medical advice, but we can point you in the right direction and provide resources. You can learn more about the topics we've discussed in this episode by viewing the show notes for this podcast and following us at Just Ask ATL on Facebook and Instagram. Our podcast is available on all of your favorite platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, Google, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. Please make sure you subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. If you found value in this discussion, please share this podcast with friends or leave a rating on iTunes. Thanks again for listening. We can't wait for you to join us for the next show.